All right. Well, I did a poll on Twitter and I asked people to Roman and Rite Catholics, would you attend the traditional Latin Mass exclusively for the rest of your life? In other words, you got the option. Traditional Latin Mass till the day you die, or mix in a little Novus Ordo, a little Novus Ordo Missae. And I was surprised. The poll came out 84%, almost 85% in favor of yes, give me the traditional Latin Mass only. And then 15% said no, give me a little Novus Ordo. So I was a little surprised by the poll. I mean, as you know, if you watch the Taylor Marshall show, you know I'm traditional. I attend the traditional Latin Mass. I went to traditional Latin Mass today. It was a low Mass. It's great. It's wonderful. So I thought today's show would be, what would I say to that 15%? The 15% of people who follow me on Twitter and say, "No, I want a little Novus Ordo. I want a little bit of Novus Ordo in my life." Not the 85%, but what would I say to those 15%? So, just real quick tonight, I'm gonna run through that. Before we do, though, I'd like to pray together. It is the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. It's a blessed day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So we're gonna start off and we'll pray the Our Father, the Pater Noster. Please pray with me. Oremus. Nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, advenient regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would please strengthen the graces we received from the Holy Eucharist and Holy Communion. And for all of our brothers and sisters who are not able to receive Holy Communion today, we ask that you would please bless them and supply them with all the graces that they need from the Blessed Sacrament. We pray this in our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, as I explained, for those of you that are just joining us, I ran a Twitter poll. I'll put it right here. And I asked Roman Rite Catholics, I said, look, if you're a Roman Rite Catholic and you had the option for the rest of your life to attend the traditional Latin Mass, no Novus Ordo, would you go for that? And as you can see there on the screen, this is the final results. There were, oh, my eyes are getting tired, 3,800 votes. 84% said yes, give me traditional Latin Mass only. And then 15% said, yeah, I want some Novus Ordo. So tonight's show is addressed to that 15% who want some Novus Ordo in their life. And I'm going to just begin right off the bat with this quote from Archbishop Annibale Bonini. This is the architect of the Novus Ordo. He began working on the reform of the Roman Rite in 1951, way before Vatican II, over a decade before Vatican II, by reforming for Paul, excuse me, for Pius XII, the Holy Week liturgy. He rewrote Palm Sunday. He rewrote Maundy Thursday, Good Friday. He completely reworked the Holy Saturday Easter Vigil. Not a big fan. That's why I like, do I have it with me? Yes, I have one of them with me. I prefer the pre-1955 missals. If you watch the Taylor Marshall show, you know this is what I like. This is the St. Andrew. I usually keep this up here in my office because I take my Father Lassance once to Mass. And I usually keep it in my bedroom or near my bed to study. But this is the one I keep up here. I like the pre-1955 liturgy because it's pre-Bugnini. And I have a whole section on about Bugnini and why he, not proven, but why he is very likely a Freemason infiltrator. You can read all about that in my book, Infiltration. Okay, so on about Bugnini, he says, here's the quote, "We must strip from our Catholic prayers and from the Catholic liturgy, everything which can be the shadow of a stumbling block to our separated brethren, that is the Protestant. So in other words, Annibal Bugnini, when he wrote the New Liturgy, which came out in 1969, it was promulgated in 69, it came out into the rest of the world in 1970. So if you were alive during that time, you probably remember in 1970, everything beginning to change. And Annibal Bugnini is designing a liturgy. I'm going to put another picture up here for you in just a little bit. He's designing a liturgy that is in conformity with Protestantism. Now, if you watch my channel, you also know I used to be a Protestant. I was a Protestant minister. I was a clergyman or priest of the Anglican tradition, the Episcopal tradition. So once upon a time, people used to call me Reverend Marshall, Father Marshall. I used to wear the Roman collar. There's some pictures on me on the internet. That's way back in the day. And so I know what it means to be a Protestant. I have presided over Protestant liturgies. That was my job. So I know Protestant liturgy. I mean, Anglican, Episcopalian, Book of Common Prayer liturgy. My parish was a 1928 liturgy, which in the Episcopal Church is kind of, I guess in a way, quasi-traddy. It's kind of the old school liturgy, 1928, so pre-62. When I celebrated the liturgies, we did them ad orientem. We had a rood screen. We had altar rails. It was, in a way, much more traditional than the Novus Ordo. And so when I became a Catholic, I realized, man, these Novus Ordo liturgies are way more Protestant than Anglican liturgies. They're more like Presbyterian or Methodist liturgies. They're really, really dumbed down. And then later on, I realized that the Novus Ordo liturgy was redesigned by this guy right here, Annibal Bugnini, who says we must strip from our Catholic prayers and from the Catholic liturgy everything which can be a shadow of a stumbling block for our separated brethren, that is, the Protestants. Now, also at Vatican II, we're invited 6 Protestant ministers. They're on the screen right there. These 6 Protestant ministers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they also were advisors. Now, let me ask you this, my brothers and sisters. Do you want to attend a liturgy that was, to use the word of Bugnini, stripped down for Protestants? In other words, we want to take everything that's good about Catholicism and then anything that Protestants don't like, we're going to strip that out. And we're going to give you a new liturgy, and that new liturgy is called the Novus Ordo Missae, which came out in 1969-1970. No thanks. I like the liturgy that was going on for centuries. The liturgy, yes, it had developments over the centuries. Everybody agrees to that. I don't care how rad, trad, traddy you are. You could be Michael Davies, you could be Archbishop Lefebvre, you could be Bishop Schneider, Archbishop Vigano, Cardinal Burke, you could be Sede Vacantist. Everyone's going to agree that from basically the time of Pope Gregory the Great, St. Gregory the Great, around the year 600, the liturgy is essentially unchanged. Yes, the offertory prayers develop. If you're a student at New St. Thomas Institute with me, we're going over that right now. We're going over the developments. Yes, the Agnus Dei was added later. Yes, that happened later on. There are minor developments. But what we see in 1970, thank you for the super sticker, by the way, Gwen Havar. What we see in 1970 is Eucharistic prayer too, which, by the way, by legend, was written on the back of a napkin. Eucharistic Prayer 3, Eucharistic Prayer 4, multiple penitential rites, complete dumbing down of the offertory from what it had been in the Roman Rite. Radical changes in the way communion is received. Removal of the names of saints in Eucharistic Prayer 1, which is supposed to be Roman canon. Why? Let's just pause here. Eucharistic Prayer 1 is Roman canon. Unchanged. since the time of Gregor the Great, 600. 1400 years, pristine, pristine. Why would you go into the Roman canon and put brackets around the names of saints in the Roman canon? There's only one reason why you do that, and Annibal Bugnini already told us why he did that, and that is because it's a stumbling block to Protestants. Protestants don't believe in saints and the merits of the saints. So they rip that out of the Roman canon, or they put brackets around it. It takes you, what, an extra 11 seconds, if that, to say these names? But no. We've got to cater to Protestants who have been rebelling against the church for 500 years, five centuries. No thanks, Annibal Bugnini. The liturgy is not lubies. You don't get to go by with your tray and say, I like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Oh, Protestants don't like green jello, so I'm not going to put green jello on the tray. That's just not how we worship the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. Now, another problem with the Novus Ordo, and I see some of the comments here, but I'm guessing there's at least one out there saying, I've seen the most reverent Novus Ordo, and I have too. I have seen a Novus Ordo that is Ad Orientem in Latin, Eucharistic Prayer 1 Roman Canon with all the saints, totally maxed out. Sacred digits together, everything. I get it. But if you travel around the world, I've traveled around the world. You go to Japan, you go to Indonesia, you go to Italy, you go to Argentina, you go to Canada, you go to California, you zip down and you go to Nigeria, South Africa, Australia, and you go to the Novus Ordo Mass. 98-99% of the time, they're all the same. You've got lay Eucharistic ministers. You have altar girls. You have deplorable Jesuit music that's sing-songy, that's mostly about we the community. We are a community, community, la, 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 la. And it's not about adoring the Blessed Trinity, the all-holy and undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not about praising the crucified Lord, Christ the King. It's man-centered. It's not God-centered. It's singing about us and not singing about Him. So it's the churches, they're not in the classic cathedral parish style that's transcendent, that's vertical. They're in the round. It's all about community. It's all about me and we. That's the Novus Ordo because it's built on, ding, 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 what Annibal Bugnini himself said in 1965. It's all about conforming liturgy to Protestantism. What would Martin Luther like? Really? So I would, back to this poll that I did on Twitter, it just ended. 84% would like traditional Latin Mass only, 15.4% would like a little Novus Ordo. To that 15.4, I would just say, why? You like a little Protestant Jello on your Lubies tray? You're gonna go down the Lubies cafeteria and you're gonna pick out your meal and you want a little bit of Protestant Jello? No. Don't want Protestant Jello on your cafeteria lunch tray. You want it to be Catholic. What's great about the traditional Latin Mass, and I've experienced this firsthand as a father, as an ex-Protestant, as an ex-Protestant cleric, is that the traditional Latin Mass hits you in the forehead like a 2x4. It is objective Catholicism. It is strong Catholicism, beginning with the prayers at the foot of the altar, the Confiteor, invoking the Blessed Virgin, God first, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. John the Baptist, St. Michael, sorry, I got those out of order, Peter and Paul, from the very get-go, we are entering into the holy sacrifice and we're entering into the cloud of witnesses, as St. Paul says in Hebrews. It's the real deal. It's the real deal. There's no mistaking. Honestly, as an ex-Episcopal priest, I would have had no problem whatsoever reciting the Novus Ordo. It's not that different than what I did as Episcopal priest. And the reason is because Bunini designed it so that I, as an ex, when I was a Protestant priest, Anglican priest, I would have dug it. No problem. But when you look at the traditional Latin Mass, you look at the prayers at the foot of the altar, you look at the offertory prayers that are said. By the way, in New St. Thomas Institute, we just recorded a great video lesson on the offertory prayers, what it means that bread and wine are blessed and hallowed before even the miracle of consecration, which happens in the traditional Latin Mass. Beautiful. You look at the Roman canon. You look at the prayers the priest says before receiving communion. All that you look at the communion rite, it's very Catholic. A Lutheran is not comfortable with the traditional Latin Mass. A Lutheran is comfortable with the liturgy designed by Archbishop Annibal Bunini. So I would just challenge that 15% of my audience that says, no, I want a little Novus Ordo. I would just say, look, we're in a crisis. We're in an infiltration. Most Catholics out there do not believe in transubstantiation. They do not believe in the real presence. A lot of this has to do with just how they have seen the Eucharist itself handled for their entire life since they were babies, if they were raised in the church. When you go to the traditional Latin Mass, there is no mistaking it. That little host is God, period. You could be an atheist, you could be a Mohammedan, you could be a Hindu. When you go into a traditional Latin Mass and you see the care taken for the host, the way people receive the Eucharist, that's God. You know it. You go to the Novus Ordo, and I've shared this before. One of the moments where I said to myself, I'm not going to the Novus Ordo ever again. I went up for communion. I'll be frank where it was. It was at University of Dallas at the chapel there at the University of Dallas. And the Eucharistic minister was wearing a Grover t-shirt, had a enormous picture of Grover on his chest. That church, if you've ever been to the University of Dallas, it's bare bones. There's no art in it. It's very Protestant. In fact, when we first moved back to Texas, my eldest son, we were in church there. We were at that church, and my son pulled on my shirt and said, "Dad, why are we in a Protestant church? It's a Catholic church. Why are we in a Protestant?" Because he looked around, there's no stained glass, there was no statues, there were no saints, there's no icons. The crucifix there, I'll be frank, is ugly. Why are we in a Protestant church? But I remember in that same place going, because I got my PhD at University of Dallas, it's a Catholic school. And I remember going up to communion, and the Eucharistic minister was a college student. He's wearing a Grover t-shirt. So he comes up, the body of Christ. And as I'm receiving the body of Christ from him, I'm looking into the face of Grover from Sesame Street. Grover from Sesame. And I'm like, there's not an icon of St. Michael. There's not an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, pure Theotokos. There's not an icon or statue of Peter or Paul, St. Gabriel, nothing. This is a whitewashed room. And when I receive the all-holy of holies, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, in this context, I have to look into the eyes of Grover from Sesame Street. I was like, I'm done. I cannot sustain faith where all icons and images are repudiated in the sacred space, and I have to look into the eyes of Grover from Sesame Street, basically a Muppet, an icon of a Muppet, to receive Holy Eucharist. And of course, people talk about, you know, women who are dressed inappropriately, you know, the stress that adds to men when they go up to Eucharistic ministers, men who are dressed inappropriately, stress for women. It's a disaster. It's a complete disaster. And we are seeing that in 2020. Of course, there are the scandals of McCarrick, but there's also just the local scandal on the parish level. The things are broken. We have exchanged our birthright for a cup of stew. If you know the book of Genesis, you know what I'm talking about. We've exchanged our birthright, the Roman rite, the oldest rite, the venerable rite, the rite of all the saints, the rite of all the great kings and emperors, cardinals, bishops, popes. We've exchanged that rite for just a bowl of porridge. The porridge that was mixed up by this guy, Annibale Bugnini. As I mentioned in Infiltration, Annibale means, in Aramaic, Hebrew, gift of Baal. I don't want that gift. No. I want the traditional Latin Mass. So, I'm going to close up. The 15% who said, I want a little Novus Ordo, I would just say, don't do it. Don't do it. I find when I talk to people, often people who are okay with the Novus Ordo, they're either young people or old people. They don't have kids in the house. When you have kids in the house and you take them to Mass, what they see is for real. When we first became Catholic, before we found the traditional, we've been going to Latin Mass for 10 years. My oldest is 18, and we have 8 kids. 18 down to age 4. When we became Catholic, I remember we were at a Novus Ordo church. So this would have been, I don't know, a while back. One of my daughters, it was the procession, the beginning of Mass. They're bringing there's a crucifer carrying the crucifix. The crucifer or the torchbearers were altar girls. They were in albs, probably the Velcro, cheesy albs. I was thinking, don't like that. Oh, well. My daughter, she must have been 4, 5, pulls on my jacket. See, my kids teach me. My kids teach me because I made the mistakes that in my early days. My daughter pulls on my jacket. Daddy, I want to be a girl priest too. That's what she said. She saw altar girls leading the priest to the altar, and in her little innocent mind, she was excited. I want to serve Jesus like that. I want to be a girl priest. In her innocent, pure mind, she didn't even receive communion yet. In her innocent, pure mind, the example of the Novus Ordo brought that thought into her mind. I'm embarrassed to even say it. How many people are watching here? I'm telling this to 1,000 people. And we wonder why so many people are pro-women's ordination. Now, my daughter doesn't think that anymore. I've catechized her. She's been going to Latin Mass all this time. But to her, seeing girls in albs, carrying the torches, carrying the crucifix, leading the priest to the sanctuary in the Novus Ordo, she made the conclusion as a little bitty girl, innocent, Daddy, I want to be a girl priest too. Cut my heart right open, bleeding all over that pew and aisle. That my little girl wants to be a girl priest. And of course, I saw she was aspiring to serve Jesus, who we prayed every night, who she loves. And she just saw that example and she thought, oh, I too can be a girl priest. These are the problems. Same thing with touching the Eucharist. Another time I was with one of my sons. We were praying in front in a church, empty church, for the tabernacle. And my son said, points to the tabernacle. We're really close. So I think probably in his life, he'd never been that close to a tabernacle. And my son says, Dad, if we touch that, we'll die. Wow. You know, it's like he was reading the Old Testament about King David and Uzi. And Uzi reached out and touched the tabernacle and died. Kids get this stuff. And so if kids are receiving catechesis in the liturgy and the Novus Ordo from the mouth of Annibal Bugnini, if the liturgy is more Protestant, we are going to make our kids Protestant just by being in this liturgy. I have 8 kids. Joy and I have invested so much in these 8 kids. If one of them goes to hell, it is the greatest failure that I could ever experience. So if I submit them to this liturgy and they get confused and misunderstood, that's the thing. Why would I ever risk this? To the 15%, he says, yeah, give me some Novus Ordo. Why would I ever risk this? And, you know, I've been going to Latin Mass for 10 years, but I've seen priests remove pronouns from the liturgy because they don't want God to be male. Instead of saying through him, with him, and in him, through Christ, in Christ, that kind of stuff. I heard a priest once, a Dominican, read the gospel. And instead of saying, you know, Christ often refers to himself as the Son of Man. Very common. It comes from Daniel and the prophets in the Old Testament. He didn't want to say Son of Man because that's gender male. This priest was saying Son of Human. When the Son of Human comes, I just walked out of the Mass. Can't go to that. So there's the visual abuse that children get. There are the changes. There is the stripping down of Catholicity. There's the removal of saints. There's the removal of sacrifice. There's the removal of the sacerdotal uniqueness of the priest, the power of his anointed hands, his sacred digits. You know, St. Isaac Jogues, the great missionary, the Native Americans cut off his thumb and his finger so he couldn't say Mass. He had to appeal to the Pope and get a dispensation to use other fingers. That's how hardcore things were in the old days. Nowadays, it's like, oh, who cares? You know, you could offer the holy sacrifice with your toes, basically, in the Novus Ordo. So I would just ask the 15, especially if you have children, please, as a man, I'm not an old man. My kids aren't raised. Who knows what's going to go on? I pray for them. We pray the rosary. But as a father trying to raise 8 kids, I have seen firsthand how confusing it is for the little souls. And then when we take a step back and we look at all the people who have grown up since 1970 under the Novus Ordo, they don't attend Mass. There are families, pious mothers of 6 kids. All 6 kids have left the church. We have never seen this destruction of faith in 2,000 years. And people say, well, it's this and it's that. Let me tell you, a big part of it's the liturgy. In the ancient days, centuries, people were illiterate. They didn't know Latin. They couldn't even read. If they were French, they couldn't read French or German. They could read nothing. And somehow these people were great saints, loved God, loved the Holy Trinity, loved Our Lady, greatly devoted pilgrims, believed they could recite the Apostles' Creed. They believed it all. And then we're told by people like Annibal Bugnini, well, they weren't actively participating in the liturgy. We need Eucharistic ministers. We need lay lectors up in there reading the the epistles. We need all these lay people doing stuff. And somehow, even before all that, the entire island of Ireland, they weren't Latin scholars, but they were faithful and they were saints. They actively participated in Mass in a supernatural, profound way. And they, not a single one of them was a Eucharistic minister or a lector or whatever. And they weren't Latin scholars. And they were worshiping the Holy Trinity. And they sure as heck were not Protestants. And now we've given the island of Ireland, what is it, 50 years of Novus Ordo? It's all gone. They got trans. They got LMNOP LGBT. They got legalized abortion. Everything's gone. People don't go to Mass. And we were told, oh, if we just have active participation, we'll have this great new Pentecost and a new springtime and all. It didn't happen. So if you love your soul, you don't want to lose your soul. You want to be focused on the miracle of transubstantiation. Focused on the real presence. If you want your kids to have the faith and not to lose it, to have a reverence and love for God, don't go to the liturgy designed by this guy. I'm removing him from the screen. Annibal Bugnini, bye, you're gone. Don't go to that. Go to the traditional Latin Mass. And in closing, before we pray, the mainstream, the USCCB, the Bishop Barron, the James Martin, they are terrified that we are talking about this on YouTube right now. The jig is up. They know that if people demand the traditional Latin Mass and say, I don't want the Protestantized version, I don't want the Novus Ordo, I want to have and restore the Roman Rite, as is my baptismal rite as a Catholic, they know the jig is up. It's over for all of them. And that's why they call people like me and others extremists, conspiracy theorists, rad trads, mad trads, sad trads. They have to destroy people like me because I'm just saying, look, when you go to the Novus Ordo, your daughter's going to say things like, I want to be a girl priest. That's the problem. And I think it's brilliant. Whatever God's doing in his providence, COVID, this whole scenario has escalated everything where people are looking to their right and to their left. And they're saying, wow, if I want to go to confession right now in California, I got to go to a trad priest. If I want to receive communion, the only priests that are doing it are the traditional priests. If I want last rites, traditional priest. The people who are committed to the Novus Ordo in Vatican II are, for a large part, not all of them, hirelings, hiding in their rectories, not giving the sacraments. And the COVID situation has opened up the eyes of millions of lay people. They realize, I need to go back to that old-time Roman religion, traditional Roman Catholicism that my grandparents and my great-grandparents had. And I know, everyone knows in their mind, my Italian grandma had the faith. My Irish grandpa had the faith. My Polish great-grandmother had the faith. My Croatian grandpa had the faith. And then you look at the last 30, 40, 50 years, and for the most part, people don't have the faith. It's Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, go to Mass 2 to 5 times a year. All religions are equal, blah, blah, blah. Liturgy feels like a really badly done Broadway show. We could only hope that Elton John could put a little spice in it. Not that I even want that. So, today, I went to a very simple 35-minute traditional Latin mass, low mass, praise God. I was there for the holy sacrifice of Jesus Christ, true God and true man. I received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ on my tongue. No particles were lost on people's hands or on the floor. That's it. So we're going to close. We're going to pray the Ave Maria and the Gloria Patri. So please pray with me. We'll pray in Latin. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et ad hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Mighty God, lead us to perfect and true worship, rational worship that is due to you through the Holy Spirit. We pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, everybody, thanks so much for watching. If you like this video, please do me the favor and hit the like button. It's the little thumbs up. Where is it? I got a little picture here. Here it is. Hit that thumbs up. I would really appreciate that. And while you're at the thumbs up, go ahead and share this video on YouTube. In the last 2 or 3 months, I've realized that people who share this on Facebook, whenever that happens, for some reason, these videos can go viral. So if you want this video to go viral, people see it, please share it on Facebook. I'd really appreciate it. And if you're new to my channel, welcome. Welcome. It's great that you to be here. This is a joyous place of joyful Catholicism. So please subscribe and hit that little bell button. That's the notifier. That's the notification bell. So every time I go live, if it's like 9 o'clock, like tonight, on a Sunday, you'll get a little ding ding. Hey, Marshall's live. And there it is. And then just sent out a ton of books, signed books. I was away. I was outside of Texas. But when I got back, there was all these new Patreons. So thanks for all the new Patreons. I signed all your books, sent you some merch. It went out in the mail, I think, 2 or 3 days ago. So you should be getting it any time now in the next couple days, hopefully the next day or so. So thanks to everybody who supports this channel on Patreon. And of course, it wouldn't be a show if I didn't say, pray that rosary every day. It's 9:40 Sunday night. I have prayed a rosary today, but I haven't prayed the rosary with the family. So I'll be signing off here and I'll be going downstairs outside that white door and I'll be wrangling all the kids together and we'll be praying our family rosary together. It's important that everyone pray the rosary every day. And if you're a family, it's important that the father leads the family in the family rosary every single night, 365 days a year. Pray that rosary. Our Lady asked us to pray the rosary in 1917 at Our Lady Fatima. So we all do it. That's what we do. And if you don't pray the rosary, guess what? You're not on the team. Pray the rosary or you're not on the team. All right, everybody, thanks so much for watching. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. A blessed Lord's Day to all of you. We'll see you this week. Godspeed and God bless.